Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Yesterday, we had opportunity to worship God for who He is, emphasizing that God is the victor. In the Bible, when God leads His commanders into war, these battles belong to the Lord. And if He is trusted and honored, the Lord will bring victory. And that is what happened when Abram and his 318 trained men attacked the retreating armies of the kings of the north. Lot and his possessions, as well as the goods, the women, and their surviving soldiers of Sodom, were rescued and brought back. God very much deserves the credit for this. That is certainly what Abram believed, and that is what we turn to now as we observe Abram's interaction with two kings. In many ways, this is a chapter about kings, and here are two more. This next section of Genesis chapter 14 begins in verse 17 and carries on until the end of the chapter, verse 24. Here in verse 17, Abram meets the king of Sodom, and in verse 18, Abram meets the king of Salem. The king of Sodom and the king of Salem. The way Moses writes this, he sets it up that the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram, verse 17, but then he yielded the way to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, verses 18 through 20. So we do not find out about the purpose of the king of Sodom's visit until later at verses 22 through 24. Because we will take the biblical text in the order in which Moses presents it, we will begin with the king of Salem, Melchizedek. As we lean into Melchizedek, something must be emphasized up front. He is a bit of a mystery. Yes, God introduces us to him here, and again in the Psalms, and again in the New Testament book of the Hebrews. Despite what we read about Melchizedek in these three books of the Bible, we still do not know everything we would like to know about him. And that has made Melchizedek one of the most fascinating people to grace the pages of Scripture. He is a mysterious figure. Who was Melchizedek? Do you know? Of course, we will find what we definitely do know about him. As always, we will take the Scripture at face value and enumerate what is known about him, his interaction with Abram, and his place in the New Testament period of God's revelation. But Melchizedek is a figure that, the more we get to know him, the more we want to know. But we find that what we want to know is not revealed to us in Scripture or from outside of Scripture. So we are left with unanswered questions. Of course, to this, someone might say, if God wanted us to know, he would have told us. Since God did not tell us, God did not want us to know. And we can rightfully leave it at that. And that may well end up being your conclusion. But I take it to be my job to at least introduce you to, or to reintroduce some of you to Melchizedek, especially in relation to Abram and to God as being a key part of Genesis chapter 14. In fact, some of you who have read this entire chapter have noted the mysterious nature of this character in the story, and you want answers. You have been patiently waiting for us to get here. Imagine that at the end of Genesis 14, verse 17, I said, well, this brings to an end what we have time to discover in this chapter. The end. Oh, I think I would leave a lot of you disappointed. So good news, we will deal with Melchizedek. However, I am preparing you now. He is shrouded in mystery. So I will propose to you different ideas of who he was, and I will let you in on my personal opinions, but this will be one of these times when I will not be definitive, because I am leaving room for questions exactly where only God can answer us. And he does not. At least, not yet. Maybe one day in heaven God will reveal what we wanted to know about Melchizedek? Maybe not. As I continue with this introduction, I want to remind you that the Bible contains certain mysteries. This is God's doing, and I believe intentionally so. The Bible speaks of God's mysteries or of God's secrets. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, easy to remember. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God." God has secrets. As we read along in the Bible, we find out that God does reveal some of his secrets to certain people. Psalm chapter 25 and verse 14 says, "The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant." Psalm 25:14, "The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant." And Proverbs 3, verse 32 says that God, he is intimate with the upright. Proverbs 3, 32. So God does share some of his secrets with his elect. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants.'" And in Matthew 13, verse 11, Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." As we proceed here in Genesis 14, it will become obvious to you what is mysterious about Melchizedek and what remains an unsolved mystery. Yet, I expect that you, along with me, will trust in God and his infallible word. Indeed, what we do know is what God has decided we need to know. We are on a need-to-know basis with God. The rest is in the Lord's sovereign mind and will. Well, I hope I have not scared you off of Melchizedek. With all this being said, someone might ask, what exactly is it about Melchizedek that makes him so mysterious? Why is he a man of mystery? I did say that will emerge as we continue in the text, but perhaps it will be good if I give you some clue up front as to why there will always be some questions that linger around him. There will also be raucous discussion among students of the Bible, like you, and also pastors, preachers, teachers, theologians, historians, all kinds of believers and unbelievers, etc., as to who Melchizedek was and who or what he represents. And this mystery emerges for three basic reasons. Again, I will be drawing these out for you along the way, but let me put down the clues. First, Melchizedek is well connected to Christ. At a minimum, Melchizedek was a type of Jesus Christ. What is a type? Let me quote one Bible scholar and pastor. "In biblical study, a type refers to an Old Testament person, practice, or ceremony that has a counterpart, an anti-type, in the New Testament. In that sense, types are predictive. The type pictures or prefigures the antitype. The type, though it is historical, real, and of God, is nonetheless imperfect and temporary. The antitype, on the other hand, is perfect and eternal. The study of types and antitypes is called, as one might expect, typology." End quote. In the case of Melchizedek, he is the type, and Jesus Christ is the antitype. Melchizedek pictures, he prefigures Christ. Melchizedek predicts Christ. And this makes him a wonderfully compelling figure in Genesis. We will get into this soon, as I point you most poignantly to the book of Hebrews, which has three chapters that deal with Melchizedek as a type of Jesus Christ. Look, anytime someone is this closely related to Christ, we want to sit up and pay close attention. There is a divine mystery built around this, Melchizedek as a type. And that's at a minimum. There may be more to the connection of Melchizedek and our Lord than type. Second, there is mystery surrounding Melchizedek's appearance here in the 14th chapter of Genesis. Moses drops him into the text out of the middle of nowhere, and then as quickly as he arrives, he exits. As we read down through the chapter, we are not expecting him, and then here he is. Three verses, and poof, he is gone. And he is not mentioned again in Genesis. By now, surely you have read all of Genesis 14. When you did, were you expecting Melchizedek? The king of Sodom is one thing. He is no surprise, coming out to meet Abram after Abram rescued Sodom. But Melchizedek from a place called Salem? This is a surprise, and this is a mysterious appearance. Third, there is mystery related to Melchizedek because he is unique for this time period in biblical and extra-biblical history. That is, there are things that are true of him that are not true of others who would be the equivalent of him in position and profession. This I shall explain. But Melchizedek being such a unique figure means that we are stimulated by his presence in the Bible, and we need to do the best we can to make sense of who he is without all the necessary data. Again, from our limited perspective. So, I hope this will draw you further up and further into the Bible to be anticipating mystery. As we continue tomorrow with laying the groundwork about what we do know about Melchizedek. I hope you will look forward to this and join us next time because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.